Welcome to Ancient Words, the Bible study podcast from Red River Ministries. We invite you to get your Bible and a notebook and join us in the study of the Word of God. If you are not able to follow along in your Bible for some reason, that is okay too. We go verse by verse through the scripture we are studying. It is our hope that this Bible study will encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Now, on to today's study. Hello everyone, and welcome back to another installment of Ancient Words. We are continuing our study in the Upper Room Discourse between Jesus and his disciples. So if you are able to, I would like to invite you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 14. Today we will be looking at our position in the family of God. Now, as all of you know, or should know by now, I hold to and teach a Trinitarian view of God. In other words, I believe and teach that Scripture shows that there is one God eternally manifest in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Last time we were together, we looked at one of the passages where Jesus said that he would be leaving and would ask the Father to send another helper to the disciples. Now, this is just one of many verses that support the Trinitarian view, and one day I may go through and put them all together in a blog post or something like that so that people can understand why I believe that the Bible teaches God being manifest this way. Now, what does any of that have to do with today's scripture? Well, let us read the scripture, have a word of prayer, and then see if we can answer that question. Again, we are reading John chapter 14, verses 18 through 21. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Father God, we thank you that you are our Father in heaven. We thank you that the Son is in you and that you are found in him. Open our ears to hear, our hearts to learn, and our minds to understand what your words through your Holy Spirit is teaching us today. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now remember that when we look through and we look at the scripture, the first thing we want to look at is the context of the verse or passage we are trying to interpret. That's the number one rule of biblical interpretation, context. In this case, the passage we are trying to interpret immediately follows what we studied last time when Jesus promises to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit after he leaves. Keep that in mind as we look at today's verses, because it is of the utmost importance that we remember that these verses are in the context of Jesus sending the Holy Spirit to his disciples, and also to us as we are his disciples. Now, with that context in mind, let us look at today's passage, starting with the beginning of verse 18. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus knows what is going to happen to him. He knows that he is going to be betrayed, beaten, brutalized, and then crucified and buried. However, he also knows that he will be resurrected and will return to the Father's side. He knows what kind of pain the disciples are going to feel when he does leave them that final time. That is why he says to them, I will not leave you as orphans. He knows they will still need guidance, teaching, strength, and all the other things that he has provided for them over the last few years since they have been following him. He tells them, I will come to you. How is Jesus going to come to them? Now, yes, one day he will physically return to set up his kingdom, but that time has not yet come. Instead, Jesus is saying that he will come to them and us through the Holy Spirit that will be given by the Father. Remember that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one essence, but three distinct persons. Each one has a distinct function, but they are of the same mind, will, and purpose. So, when we are saved, we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We are receiving God into us. We have direct access to the Father and the Son because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. This is because the three persons of the Godhead are inseparably linked together by their oneness or their sameness, yet they are distinct persons. Of course, Jesus is not talking about coming to them through this sending of the Holy Spirit, but also of his resurrection, which is what the next verse is describing. He says, "Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live." When Jesus rose from the dead, he did not show himself to everybody. He only showed himself to his disciples. That is why the news of his resurrection was so difficult for some people to believe. They had not seen it with their own eyes. This is why Jesus told them, "Yet a little while and the world will see me no more." It was the next day that he was crucified and buried. That was the last time that most people saw him. It was only a few people, relatively speaking, that he showed himself to after his resurrection. Thus he says to them, "But you will see me." And then he said, "Because I live, you will live also." I wonder how many times this saying came into their minds during those 3 days after the crucifixion. I wonder how many times did Peter or James or Andrew or Thomas think about these words over those 3 long days? Or did these words never cross their minds after Jesus showed himself raised from the dead? He had told them all numerous times that he would be put to death, but would rise again on the third day. I still wonder if any of them had this small promise in the back of their mind while they were hiding. Now, in reality, it is not a small promise. In reality, it is the promise of our salvation. Jesus tells them that because he lives, they will live also. Even though they may face death in the most horrible ways, they will still live. Not trapped in this sinful flesh forever, but free from sin, in the presence of God in Christ in the kingdom that is without end. This promise extends to us today. We are still promised that we can live eternally with Christ because he lives. All we have to do is put our faith and trust in him, believing that he is the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, that he lived a sinless life and died as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He is the substitute for us, taking on himself the wrath of God the Father that was rightfully ours and giving to us his own righteousness when we come to him. He then says, "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Now let's see if we can break this verse down phrase by phrase and make it a little more understandable, because it can be confusing. So this exercise might be helpful. I know it was for me the first time I was really studying through this passage. In that day, now what day is Jesus talking about here? To the disciples, it was the day that he would manifest himself through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. For us, it is the day that he manifests himself to us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, the day we are saved. You will know. We will have the knowledge of a situation. That one is fairly easy to understand. That I am in my Father. And we know that Jesus has ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of the Father, according to Hebrews and Stephen's vision of Acts. But how is he in the Father? This goes to our understanding of the Godhead. Jesus is in the Father because they are of one mind, one accord, one will, and one purpose. Now, yes, they are distinct individual persons, but they are also one and in one another. Then he says, "You are in me." How are we in him? According to Scripture, he continually intercedes for us. He has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, who also intercedes when we do not know how to pray. Paul says that everything we do is to be for the glory of the Lord. I would say that we are in him because he is to be our focus, our main motivation for things that we do, and he is our constant companion in every situation. And the verse ends, "And I in you." Jesus is in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, he is not physically present in us, but he did send the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, who is one with him, to indwell those who believe. Since the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, then Jesus is right to say that he is in us through the Holy Spirit. In other words, this passage comes down to the fact that Jesus, after he ascended to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit to indwell believers. The idea that we are able to know anything concerning the Father or the Son is dependent upon the Holy Spirit giving us that knowledge. We end today where we started last time. "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Again, Jesus is emphasizing the fact that those who love him will be obedient to him. Only then will they understand the love of the Father and the Son. Now, I want to ask you a question today. Have you been obedient to the commands of Jesus? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you show love to other believers? If the answer to any of those questions is no, or not all the time, or only sometimes, there's still time to do better. As long as you have breath in your lungs and your heart is beating, you have the opportunity to repent and turn to Jesus and ask him to help you do these things better and more appropriately. I know for myself, this is a daily prayer of mine, that I might love the Lord, my neighbor, and other believers better than I did any day before. I also know that I cannot do it on my own, because my flesh is not a very loving entity. It is only through the Holy Spirit working in me that I might become more loving. It is only through the Holy Spirit working in me that I might become more obedient to Christ. It is only through the Holy Spirit working in me that I might be able to accomplish any of the work that God has willed for me to accomplish. The same is true for all of us. We need the Holy Spirit working in us, sanctifying us, making us more and more what we are meant to be in the image of Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We ask that you continue to mold us into the image of your Son, that we may be the spotless bride for which he will return. Help us to understand the things we do not yet know, and help us grow in the areas we need growth. We ask these things in the power and authority of the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Ancient Words, a Bible study podcast from Red River Ministries. We would like to invite you to go to our website, www.redriverministries.org, for more information about the ministry. You can find links to our books, blog, store, and many other resources on our website, as well as a link to donate to the ministry. Also, if this podcast is a blessing to you, please leave us a review on whatever app you use to listen to us. This will help others be able to find us in those apps and be a blessing to them as well. Thank you all, and may God bless you.